Now, if thou lovest me, let me see his letter.
Good Master Fabian, grant me another request.
Anything.
Do not desire to see this letter.
That is, to give a dog, and in recompense desire my dog again.
Belong you to the Lady Olivia, friends?
But I, sir, we are some of her flattings.
I know thee well. How dost thou, my good fellow?
Truly, sir, the better for my foes, and the worse for my friends.
Just the contrary, the better for thy friends.
No, sir, the worse.
How can that be?
Marry, sir, they praise me, and make an ass of me. Now my foes tell me plainly I am an ass. So that by my foes, sir, I profit in the knowledge of myself, and by my friends, I'm abused. So that the conclusions to be as kisses, if your four negatives make your two affirmatives, why then, the worse for my friends and the better for my foes.
Aye, this is excellent.
By my troth, sir, no, though it please you to be one of my friends.
Thou shalt not be the worse for me. There's gold.
But that it would be double dealing, sir, I would you could make it another.
Oh, you give me ill counsel.
Put your grace in your pocket, sir, for this once, and let your flesh and blood obey it.
Well, I will be so much a sinner to be a double dealer. There's another.
Primo secundo tertio is a good play, and the old saying is, the third pays for all. The triplex, sir, is a good ticking measure, or the barrels of St. Bennet's survey put you in mind. One, two, three, one, two.
You can fool no more money out of me at this throw. If you will let your lady know I am here to speak with her, and bring her along with you, it may awake my bounty further.
No, sir. Lullaby to your bounty till I come again. I go, sir. But I would not have you to think that my desire of having is the sin of covetousness. But as you say, sir, let your bounty take a nap. I will awake it. Along.
Here comes the man who gathered the dress to me.
That face of his I do remember well. Yet when I saw it last, it was besmeared as black as Vulcan in the smoke of war. A baubling vessel was he captain of. For shallow craft and bulk unpriceable, with which such skillful grapple did he make with the most noble bottom of our feet, that very envy and the tongue of loss cried fame and honor on him. What's the matter?
Fortino, this is that Antonio that took the phoenix and her fort from Candy. And this is he that did the tiger board when your young nephew Titus lost his leg. Here in the streets, desperate of shame and state, in private grapple did we apprehend him.
He did me kindness, sir, true on my side. But in conclusion, he put strange speech upon me. I know not what twas, but distraction.
Notable pirate, thou salt-water thief. What foolish boldness brought thee to their mercies, whom thou in terms so bloody and so dear hast made thine enemies?
Or see no noble, sir. It is that I shake off these names you give me. Antonio never yet was thief or pirate. Though I confess on base and ground enough, Orsino's enemy. A witchcraft drew me hither. That most ingrateful boy there by your side, from the rude seas enraged and foamy mouth, did I redeem. A rack past hope he was. His life I gave him, and did dare to add my love, without pretension nor restraint, all his in dedication. For his sake did I expose myself, pure for his love, into the danger of this adverse town. True to defend him when he was beset, where being apprehended. His false cunning, not meaning to partake with me in danger, taught him to face me out of his acquaintance, and grew a 20 years removed thing while one would wink. Denied me mine own curse, which I had recommended to his use not half an hour before.
How can it be?
When came he to this town?
Today, my lord. And for 3 months before, no interim, not a minute's vacancy. Both day and night did we keep company.
Here comes the countess. Now heaven walks on earth. But for thee, fellow, thy words are madness. 3 months this youth hath tended upon me. But more of that anon. Take him aside.
What would my lord? But that he may not have, wherein Olivia may seem serviceable. Cesario, you do not keep promise with me, madam.
Gracious Olivia.
What do you say, Cesario? Good my lord.
My lord would speak. My duty hushes me.
If it be aught to the old tune, my lord, it is a fact as fulsome to my ear as howling after music.
Still so cruel.
Still so constant.
What? To perverseness? You uncivil lady, to whose ingrate and unauspicious altars my soul, the faithless offerings, hath breathed out their air devotion tendered. What shall I do?
In what it please, my lord, that shall become you.
Why should I not? Had I the heart to do it, like to the Egyptian thief, at point of death, kill what I love. A savage jealousy that sometimes savors nobly. But hear me this. Since you to non-regardance cast my faith, and that I partly know the instrument that screws me from my true place in your favor, live you, the marble-breasted tyrant, still. But this, your minion, whom I know you love, and whom, by heaven, I swear, I tender dearly. Him will I tear out of that cruel eye where he sits crowned in his master's place. Come, boy, with me. My thoughts are right in mischief. I'll sacrifice the lamb that I do love to spite a raven's heart within a dove.
And I, most jocund and willingly, to do you rest a thousand deaths would die.
Where goes Cesario?
After him I love. More than I love these eyes. More than my life. More, I owe more than e'er I shall love wife. If I do fame you witnesses above, punish my life for tainting of my love. Ay, me detected. How am I beguiled?
Who does beguile you? Who does do you wrong?
Hast thou forgot thyself? Is it so long? Call forth the Holy Father.
Come, away.
Whither, my lord? Cesario, husband.
Yes. Husband?
Aye, husband. Can
you
that deny?
Husband, sir?
No, my lord, not I. Alas, it is the baseness of my fear that makes me strangle my propriety. Fear not, Cesario, take thy fortunes up. Be that thou knowest thou art, and then thou art as great as that thou fearest. Oh, welcome, father. Father, I charge thee by thy reverence, fear to unfold, though lately we intended to keep in darkness what occasion thou revealed before tis ripe. What thou dost know hath newly passed between this youth and me?
A contract of eternal bond of love, confirmed by mutual joinder of your hands, attested by the holy close of lips, strengthened by interchangement of your rings. And all the ceremony of this compact, sealed in my function by my testimony. Since when, my watch has told me, toward my grave I have travelled but 2 hours.
Oh, thou dissembling cub! What wilt thou be when time hath sold a grizzle on thy case? Or will not else thy craft so quickly grow that thine own trip shall be thine overthrow? Farewell, and take her. But direct thy feet where thou and I henceforth may never meet.
My lord, are you prepared? Oh, do not swear. Hold little faith, though thou hast too much fear.
For the love of God, a surgeon! Send one presently to Sir Toby.
What's the matter?
Has broke my head across, and has given Sir Toby a bloody coxcomb too. For the love of God, your help! I'd rather than £40 I were at home.
Who has done this, Sir Andrew?
The Count's gentleman, one Cesario. We took him for a coward, but he's the very devil incarnate.
My gentleman, Cesario?
Oh, that is there he is. You broke my head for nothing. And that I did, I was set on to do it by Sir Toby.
Why do you speak to me? I never hurt you. You threw your sword upon me without cause. But I did bid you fair and hurt you not.
If a bloody coxcomb be a hurt, you have hurt me. I think you said nothing by a bloody coxcomb. Here comes Sir Toby halting. You shall hear more. But if he had not been in drink, he would have tickled you other gates than he did.
How now, gentlemen, how is it with you?
That's all one. Has hurt me, and there's the end of it. Sot. Did she discern you, Sot?
Oh, he drunk, Sir Toby, an hour gone. His eyes were set at 8 in the morning.
Then he's a rogue, and a passive measures have him. I hate a drunken rogue.
Away with him! Who has made this havoc with them?
I'll help you, Sir Toby, because we'll be dressed together.
Will you help? An assing, and a coxcomb, and a knave. A thin-faced knave. A gull.
Get into bed, and let his hurt be looked.
I am sorry, madam, I have hurt your kinsman, but had it been the brother of my blood, I must have done no less with wit and safety.
You throw a strange regard upon me, and by that I do perceive it hath offended you. Pardon me, sweet one, even for the vows we made each other but so late ago.
One face, one voice, one habit,
and 2 persons. A natural perspective,
that is and is not.
Antonio! Oh, my dear Antonio, how have the hours racked and tortured me since I have lost thee?
Sebastian, are you...
Fearest thou that, Antonio?
How have you made division of yourself? An apple cleft in two is not more twin than these 2 creatures. Which is Sebastian?
Most wonderful.
Do I stand there? I never had a brother. Nor can there be that deity in my nature of here and everywhere. I had a sister whom the blind waves and surges have devoured. Of charity, what kin are you to me? What countryman? What name? What parentage?
Of nothing. Sebastian was my father. Such as Sebastian was my brother, too. So went he suited to his watery tomb. If spirits can assume both form and suit, you come to matter.
A spirit I am indeed, but am in that dimension grossly clad, which from the womb I did participate. Were you a woman, as the rest goes even, I should my tears let fall upon your cheek and say, thrice welcome, drowned Viola.
My father had a mole upon his brow.
And so had mine.
And died that day that Viola from her birth had numbered 13 years.
Oh, that record is lively in my soul. He finished indeed his mortal act that day that made my sister 13 years.
Is nothing left to make us happy both. But if my masculine usurped attire, do not embrace me till each circumstance of place, time, fortune, do cohere and jump that I am Viola. Which to confirm, I'll bring you to a captain in this town where I my maiden weeds, by whose gentle help I was preserved to serve this noble count. All the occurrence of my fortune since have been between this lady and this lord.
So comes it, lady, you have been mistook. But nature to her bias drew in that. You would have been contracted to a maid, nor are you therein by my life deceived. You are betrothed both to a maid and man.
Be not amazed, right noble is his blood. If this be so, as yet the glass seems true, I shall have share in this most happy rack. Boy, thou hast said to me 1,000 times, thou never shouldst love woman like to me.
And all those sayings will I overswear. And all those swearings keep as true in soul as doth that orbit continent the fire that severs day from night.
Give me thy hand, and let me see thee in thy woman's weeds.
The captain is to bring me first on shore, have my maid garments. Here for some action, is now endurance, have Malvolio's suit. A gentleman and follower of my lady.
You shall be marching. Fetch Malvolio hither. And yet, alas, now I remember me, they say, poor gentleman, he's much distraught. A most distracting frenzy of mine own from my remembrance clearly vanished his. How does he, sir?
Truly, madam, he holds the old above at the stay's end, as well as a man in his case may do. Has here writ a letter to you. I should have given it to you today morning. But as a madman's epistles are no gospels, so it skills not much when they are delivered.
Open it and read it.
Look then to be well edified when the fool delivers the madman.
By the Lord, madam.
How not, sir, mad?
No, madam, I do but read madness. And your ladyship will have it as it ought to be. You must allow vox.
Prithee, read as I write with.
So I do, my Donna. But to read his right wit is to read thus. Therefore, attend, my princess, and give ear.
Read it you, sir.
By the Lord, madam, you wrong me, and the world shall know it. Though you have put me into darkness, and given your drunken cousin rule over me, yet have I the benefit of my senses as well as your ladyship. I have your own letter that induced me to the semblance I put on, with the which I doubt not but to do myself much right, or you much shame. Think of me as you please. I leave my duty a little unthought of, and speak out of my injury. The madly used Malvolio.
Did he write this?
Why, madam,
this savours not much of distraction.
See him deliver, Fabian. Bring him hither.
My lord, so please you, these things further thought on, to think me as well a sister as a wife. One day shall crown me alive on, so please you, here at my house and at my proper cost.
Madam, I am most apt to embrace your offer. Your master quits you,
And for your service done him, so much against the mettle of your sex, so far beneath your soft and tender breeding, and since you called me master for so long, here is my hand. You shall from this time be your master's mistress.
Sister, you are she.
Is this the madam?
Aye, my lord, this same. How now, Malvolio?
Madam, you have done me wrong. Notorious wrong.
Have I, Malvolio? No.
Lady, you have. Pray you, peruse that letter. You must not now deny it is your hand. Write from it, if you can, in hand or phrase. Or say it is not your seal, nor your invention. You can say none of this. Well, grant it then. And tell me, in the modesty of honor, why you have given me such clear lights of favor. The bat becomes smiling and cross-gartered to you, to put on yellow stockings and to frown upon Sir Toby and the lighter people. And acting this in an obedient hope, why have you suffered me to be imprisoned, kept in a dark house, visited by the priests, and made the most notorious geck and gull that e'er invention played on? Tell me why.
Alas, Malvolio, this is not my writing. Though I confess, much like the character. But out of question, 'tis Maria's hand. And now I do bethink me, it was she first told me thou was mad. Then came she smiling and in such form as which the other three suppose upon me in the letter. Prithee, be content. This practice hath most shrewdly passed upon me. But when we know the ground and authors of it, thou shalt be both the plaintiff and the judge of thine own court.
Good madam, hear me speak. And let no quarrel nor no brawl to come taint the condition of this present hour, which I have wondered at. In hope it shall not, most freely I confess, myself and Toby set this device against Malvolio here, upon some stubborn and uncourteous parts we had conceived in him. Maria writ the letter at Sir Toby's great importance, in recompense whereof he hath married her. How with a sportful malice it was followed, they rather pluck on laughter than revenge, if that the injuries be justly weighed that have on both sides part.
Alas, poor fool, how have they baffled thee?
Why, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrown upon them. I was one, sir, in this interlude. One, sir, so past, sir. But that's all one. By the Lord, fool, I am not bad. But do you remember, madam, why laugh you at such a barren rascal? And you smile not? He's gagged. And thus the whirling of time brings in his revenge.
I'll be revenged on the whole pack of you.
He hath been most notoriously abused.
Pursue him and entreat him to a peace. He hath not told us of the captain yet. When that is known, and golden time contents, a solemn combination shall be made of our dear souls. Meantime, sweet sister, we will not part from hence. Cesario, come, for so you shall be while you are a man. But when in other habits you are seen, Orsino's mistress and his fancy's queen.
When that I was and a little tiny born, with hey-ho, with hey-ho, the wind and the rain. A foolish thing was but a toy, for the rain, it rained every day. But when I came to a man's estate, with hey-ho, with hey-ho, the wind and the rain, yet they let me men shut their gates, for the rain, it rained every day. But when I came aloft to wind, with a hey-ho, with hey-ho, the wind and the rain, thy swaggering pool I never dried, for the rain, it rained every day. But when I came unto my bed, with hey-ho, with hey-ho, the wind and the rain, with thoughts of still and drunken head, for the rain, it rained every day. A great while ago, the world began, Done, and you saw I will leave you there.